بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، حديث نمبر 35 about the call to Islam. The methodology of the caller, the methodology of the manhaj of the da'iyah. From Abu al-Tufayl Amir ibn Wasila رضي الله تعالى عنه, who said, كنت عند علي بن أبي طالب فأتاه رجل فقال ما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يسر إليك؟ قال فغضب وقال ما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يسر إلي شيئا يكتمه الناس، غير أنه حدثني بكلمات أربع. قال فقال ما هن يا أمير المؤمنين؟ قال لعن الله من لعن والده، ولعن الله من ذبح لغير الله، ولعن الله من آوى محدثا، ولعن الله من غير منار الأرض. Meaning in English, I was with Ali ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنه. The narrator says, when a man came to him and asked, what a private information did the Prophet ﷺ give to you? So he became angry and said, the Prophet had not used to tell me anything privately which he heard from the people, but he did tell me four things. So he inquired, what are they, O chief of believers? He replied, he said, may Allah's curse be upon the one who curses his father. May Allah's curse be upon one who sacrifices for other than Allah. May Allah's curse be upon one who accommodates an innovator or evildoer. And may Allah's curse be upon one who tumbles with the boundary post of the land. Reported by Muslims. Now, the narrator asked Ali, radiallahu anhu, thinking that because of his closeness and because he is one of the, he is the Prophet's cousin, maybe the Prophet singled him out and told him something special for him. So he said that the Prophet imparted a special knowledge to Ali, which was not disclosed or given to the public. That's why Ali got very angry, radiallahu anhu. So Ali, radiallahu anhu, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he got very angry with the man and he told him this was not his habit. Because the Prophet, whatever the Prophet says, is a revelation from Allah and it has to reach every human being. As I told you many times, there is no secrecy, there is nothing secret in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. Every human being has something, has a special area in his life, restricted, no one can know about it except Allah. He has some secrets in his life. But the Prophet's life is open, like an open book, everyone can read it. No secrets in his life. So that's why Ali here, he got angry and he told him no. But in indeed, he did tell me something, and it's not for me. But he imparted it to me, and I am sharing it with all the Muslims. Because, you know, the Prophet ﷺ, sometimes he would be only one of the Sahaba. So he would take, he would teach the Sahabi a hadith. Or he would tell the Sahabi something, like the hadith of Mu'adh, who was riding behind the Prophet ﷺ. And he told him, oh Mu'adh, you know the rights of Allah upon his slaves, and you know the slaves' rights upon Allah, the hadith. Okay? So here, he told Ali radiallahu anhu the four things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or four people whom Allah cursed because of their great sins. The first one is the one who curses his parents. And you'd be surprised how one can dare to curse his parents. The Sahaba, they did raise the question, and they said, how come? So he said to Allah sallam, when you curse one's father, or one's mother, or one's parents, then indeed, indirectly, you are cursing your own. Because the other person whom you cursed, his parents were cursed, he will retaliate, and he will in return curse your parents. So, in other words, you curse your parents indirectly by cursing someone's parents. Are you following, brothers and sisters? So that's the first thing. So you will bring upon yourself the curse of Allah because you curse someone's parents. And then he will curse your parents, so you are cursing your parents indirectly. So that's why Allah's curse will be upon you. The second thing is he said, the one who sacrifices for other than Allah, this one deserves Allah's curse because he sacrifices his slaughtered animals for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And unfortunately, millions of Muslims, they do this, especially the Sufis, the tomb worshippers, great worshippers, those mushriks among the Muslims. So they do worship the saints, and they do a slaughter for them, they make sacrifices, etc. So this is shirk. This is shirk. Imam Nawawi, when he commented in this hadith, he quoted the saying of Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. Imam Shafi'i said, if the one before slaughtering the animal was a Muslim, after slaughtering it, he will become a kafir. This is what Imam Shafi'i said. So after slaughtering an animal for a wali or a saint, immediately you become kafir. That's what Imam Shafi'i said, as Imam Nawawi mentioned in his commentary on Sahih Muslim, on this hadith in particular. Then the Prophet also told Ali, and Allah's curse will be upon a person who serves as the innovator, the heretics, those people who try to undermine the deen, spoil the deen, add new things to the deen. So those who shelter them and support them, they will bring upon themselves Allah's wrath and anger, and Allah's curse will fall upon them. Which means we should not shelter the innovators, we should not support them, and we should not help them. Help them in the sense to spread their bid'ahs, their innovations. Are you following? Is this clear to everyone? Then the Prophet ﷺ also mentioned another person who deserves to be cursed. It's a person who changes the landmark. It kind of with boundary posts. You know, in olden days, between the land people, farmers, they put signs, especially what they do actually, they put stones to draw the boundary line between my land and your land. So someone might go at night and move that post or that stone, that pillar, and over to annex and add part of his brother's land to his land. So he's actually taking part of someone's land and add it to his. So this is the meaning of tampering with the boundary post. And then he will claim, this is my land, see the boundary line, see the etc. So such a person who did this during the night, no one saw him except Allah, he actually brings upon himself Allah's curse. Because this is not yours, and this is applicable for anyone who takes someone's property. Even the Prophet said, even if it is just like this piece of a stick of the miswak which we use. Piece of an Iraq, a piece of the miswak. So it is totally the habit to take someone's property. Because the Muslim's property, not only the Muslim's property, the property of any human being, is unlawful to be taken against his will. But the Muslim, his property, his God, his owner, everything is sacred and should be respected. Is this clear to everyone? Hadith number 36. The wisdom of the Quran, the Da'i, should have wisdom, hikmah. And what is the meaning of hikmah? The hikmah, wisdom, is said to put the right thing in the right place. You know when to talk and when not to talk. You know what you need to say here and what you don't, and what you should not say in this particular at this particular moment. So this is the hikmah. It's the gift from Allah. Not everyone is a wise person. Allah gives the wisdom to whomever he lacks. So that's why the da'i who lacks wisdom should mix with the scholars, with the elders, with the people, those who have experience in the da'wah, those who have been in the field of the da'wah for years, to learn from them, not to repeat the same mistakes. I'm sure many of you are being in the da'wah, they made blunders in their life. Ask any da'i when he started, he made a lot of mistakes. So you have to learn from the mistakes of others. So the wisdom is very essential. Because you have to be wise, you should know. No one should provoke you, incite you. You should know what the people need in this country. What are their concerns? What are their problems? What are their drawbacks? Their wounds, negative points, point of weakness. So you should study the community when you want to make da'wah. This is actually what the missionaries do. The missionaries, they study the whole culture of any community before they move into that community. They study the language, they study the dialect, they study the customs. So they fit just as the glove fits in one's hand. So the da'i should know the psychology of the people. and the mentality of those whom he is going to address, whom he is going to deal with. Is this clear for everyone? Here in this hadith from Abu Hurairah, رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said that Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا يلدع المؤمن من جحر واحد مرتين. It means the believer is not stung from the same hole twice. Reported by Bukhari and Muslim. What does this mean? If you put your hand into this hole and you got bitten once, will you do it again? Will you put your finger again in the same hole and you know there is a scorpion or snake inside? If you do, then you are insane, you are mad. So the hadith gives us this parable, this similitude, which to teach us that a human being should not keep repeating the same mistake. It is natural for any human being to make a mistake, but it is shameful to replace it. You fool me once, but if you fool me twice, then it is shame in me that I allowed you to fool me again. So we have to learn how our mistakes. And we should not keep repeating them. That's why you don't cry over spilt milk. Something happened in the past, it happened, it is finished. But we deduce lessons from it. This mistake which happened, I have to say, okay, so what is the lesson? I have to learn something. This hadith is emphasizing the term. That you learn from your own mistakes. لا يلدع المؤمن من جحر واحد مرتين. He was not stung from the same. That means the same problem. But unfortunately, we Muslims, we've been stung many times and we still keep repeating the same mistake. Though our prophet told us, never repeat. Never repeat the same mistake. But we keep repeating them. Again and again and again. Because many of us are very naive. We forget what happened to us in the past. Because we are naive and we are soft-hearted. Anyone can just when he says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, things like this. We believe the people, and maybe this is good and maybe it is bad. It is good if the person who apologized is sincere, and he meant it. So we accept his apology. But someone who we know, who hates us, who is our enemy, how can we trust them? How can we trust our enemies? We cannot. So you should not be naive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many places has warned us against our enemies. And he told us that they will never stop plotting and they will never stop planning till they take you away from your Islam. That's what Allah said. So you should not trust them. You should not believe them. Whatever they say, because our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created us and created them, he told us about them. So the believer is not stung from the same whole time. And the fortunate one is he who takes lesson from others. You learn from others. And you learn from the mistakes of other people. And you remember that story, the wise man, when they asked him, how did you become wise? He said, I became wise, the fools made me wise. So that means I learned from the mistakes of the fools. And so this is something foolish, this person is doing the foolish thing, so he should not do that. So we have to learn from our mistakes and also from the mistakes of others as well. Is this clear to everyone? Especially this hadith is a lesson for the da'is. Because many of the da'is in many countries, especially in the Muslim world, they have been fooled by the government many times. They have been executed and killed many times. Many of the youth, Muslim youth, were executed by such regimes many times. And then the same regime will come and say, okay, now we'll open a new page and we'll forget what happened in the past and we can allow you to participate in the political process or in the process of reform. Again, another date to fool them. And then they start coming up, they become known to the regime, this fool will run to the slaughterhouse, to the abattoir, when they know exactly that the butchers are waiting there for them with the sharp knives. Exactly. So they start participating in the political process, in the election, etc. Then start bundling them behind bars and executing them. So this is a lesson for the da'is, which is happening in many Muslim countries. Why? Because we don't stick to the Quran and Sunnah. Hadith 37, trials faced by the believer. Life is a fight, it's full of trials, it's full of hardships, difficulties, etc. The way to the Jannah, brothers and sisters, is not furnished with red carpet and roses. The way to the Jannah is full of stones and mines. From Khabbab ibn al-Arat, radiallahu anhu, he said, شكونا إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو متوسد بردة له في ظل الكعبة. قلنا له ألا تستنصر لنا؟ ألا تدعو الله لنا؟ قال كان الرجل في من قبلكم يحفر له في الأرض فيجعل فيه فيجاء بالمنكار فيوضع على رأسه فينشق اثنتين وما يصد ذلك عن دينه ويمسك بأمساك الحديد ما دون لحمه من عظم أو عصب وما يصده ذلك عن دينه والله لو تمنى هذا الأمر أمرا حتى يسير الراكب من صنعاء إلى حضرموت لا يخاف إلا الله أو الذئب على غنمه ولكنكم تستعجلون. The meaning in English, we complain to Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم of the persecution of the pagans, while he was sitting in the shade of the Kaaba, leaning upon his cloak. We say to him, will you not speak help for us? Would you call upon Allah for us pay the price, and my face before you, a believing man, would have a whole bag for him, and he would be close enough. Then the soul, hopeful, then a hopeful would be brought and placed upon his head, and it would be sown in a heart. What that would not make him abandon his religion? And his body would be torn with iron combs, the flesh from his bones and nerves being removed. Yet that would not make him give up his religion. By Allah, this being will prevail till a rider will travel from Sana'a to Hadramaut, not fearing except Allah, and the wolf as regards his food. But you people are impatient, reported by Bukhari. Now, what happened? The early Muslims in Mecca, they were executed, they were tortured, as you know. Ammar, Yasir, Humayya, Bilal. So the early believers, and this is the fact for all the followers of all the prophets, the earlier believers and followers, they were tortured. So they came to the Prophet in Mecca, and he was leaning against the wall of the Kaaba. He said, O Prophet of Allah, don't you see what is happening to us? Why don't you call upon Allah to save us from this persecution and from this torture which we are experiencing? He was leaning, then he sat down and he said, see the reply which came from the Prophet of Allah. This is what is known as mobilization. You mobilize. You mobilize the people, in other words, that you boost their morale and you prepare them for something very tough, for tough tests and trials which are waiting them in the queue, in store for them in the future. So he told them, you haven't seen anything. Don't you know the meaning of the hadith? He's telling them, you haven't seen nothing. The only Muslims, the only believers, the torture they received is more than what you are going through. They would bring them, and they would place the hopsa in the head of someone around them, and they would stab after making him turn in a hole that is dug for him so he cannot move. And then the hopster will be placed in his head, and they will start cutting him with the hopster. You know the hopster? It has teeth. And they will say, cutting the human being into two halves. Can you imagine this? A hopster, this show, is going down, the hopster is going down from the middle of your head till you are cut into two halves. This is what exactly happened to the early Muslims, in the early believers, the followers of Christ, the followers of Moses, all the prophets. It happened to Zechariah. Prophet Zechariah, who was saved. He was killed. So that's why the way, brothers and sisters, to the Jannah is not easy. And the Prophet said, and it would be thrown in half, yet that would not make him abandon his religion. He's ready to sacrifice, he's ready to give his life for his deen. And another person, another scene or scenario of the torture which the criminals in those days were experiencing are still doing the same thing up to today. That they would come the flesh of one by all come, removing his flesh while he's alive. Imagine they are taking away all your flesh and leaving only the bone. Can you imagine this? And yet, that will not make that person leave his being. And his body would be torn with iron combs, the flesh from his bones, and nerves being removed. The nerves are being removed. Yet that would not make him give up his religion. Because once the Iman settled in the heart, in one's heart, he is ready to sacrifice, he is ready to give everything. Because he knows it's only a matter of seconds and he is going to be in another life. This body, you do whatever you want to it. Seconds and he will be in another life. Seconds he will be in paradise. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, after mentioning these things, he started after giving them this news that he is preparing them, that you are going to see things in the future. So prepare yourself for that. Then he gives them a good news. But you feel now you are persecuted, you are tortured, that this deen is going to reach every corner. Islam is going to reach every corner. Allah's light will spread. No one can get out Allah's light. This is something Allah ordered, decreed. No one can stop what Allah decreed. Islam will spread. Islam will reach every corner on the globe. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, giving us this good news to motivate and to boost our morale, he said, by Allah, his soul, by Allah, this deen will be there. Till I rise, I will travel from Sana'a to Hadramaut, not seeing except Allah. He sees no one but Allah and the wolf as regards his seed. Which means the way, this was difficult in those days. There was no safety to travel by your own. The way is full of higher robbers and thieves. But the Prophet ﷺ says, the ways will be safe. Because they will be, this land will be ruled by Islam. So you can travel by your own safely. You feel no one but Allah and the wolf regards your food. But you people, this is the Prophet ﷺ said, and he was addressing the Sahaba, imagine. But you people are impatient. If the Sahaba they were impatient, how about us? We are impatient. We have no patience. You want things to happen overnight. No. That's not the way Allah wants things to happen. No, no. Allah has a plan. And things will take time. But the ultimate result, which is for the Iman and the Mu'min. The end for the believers. But in the beginning, there will be sacrifices. And this is the phase which the Ummah is going through. A lot of sacrifices, humiliations, etc. But this should not weaken us. This should strengthen us. Allah says in Surah Al-Ankabut, 29:1-3. ألف لام أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتن الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين. الله سبحانه وتعالى tells us clearly, Alif Lam Mim, the people think that they will pay less alone because they say you believe. Just because you say you believe, Allah will leave you alone and will not be tested. No way. Allah tests. And we indeed tested those who were before them, and Allah will certainly make it known, the truth of those who are true. And will certainly make it known, the falsehood of those who are liars. Although Allah knows all that before putting them to test. So this is the law of Allah. It's the law of Allah to test the people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our iman and keep us steadfast upon the path till we meet him. Amen. And may Allah reward all of you brothers and sisters for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khaira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.